Father, we never want to take your word lightly. As we open up our Bibles, as we open up the scriptures, we need to be reminded that these are the very words of God, spoken to men and women, recorded for us, that we might know you, that we might have a relationship with you, and that we might be saved by you. So God, I would pray, we would pray, help us to overcome any distractions here this morning. Let our focus be upon what you want to say to each and every one of us, because you died for us. You rose for each and every one. And Lord, we don't want to allow that free gift to go unreceived. And so I pray that you would give us ears to hear. Maybe for some of us in this room, we've known you for many years, and it's time to just rejuvenate or refresh our relationship with you. But perhaps there are some who are here that have never had a relationship with you and don't understand what it is. But God, you still love them, and you still are calling them into your kingdom. We pray, call them today. Bless this time as we study your word. Let us walk from this place knowing you greater, knowing you better, and being on fire for you. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we pray these things in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. How do you see the Lord Jesus Christ? What exactly does he mean to you? See, there's no doubt for some of us in this room, he is in fact our Lord and our Savior and our God. We revere him, we fear him, we honor him with our lives, and we do everything that we can to be obedient to him. For others, it was, you know, maybe a youth camp many years ago, giving your life to Jesus Christ. You prayed the prayer of salvation, but your walk with the Lord, you know, it's kind of been hot and cold, kind of in and out. Not really on fire for the Lord, not really seeking his will for your life, not really trying to make sure your life lines up to his will. And then thirdly and finally, there are those who have ignored the call of God, who have ignored this idea of religion, of God, of Jesus, of salvation, even of sin. What is sin? For those who don't believe, they're sinners. See, however you see Jesus determines how well you will follow after him, how well you will seek after him. And we're going to read this morning the resurrection story, and it's that day, that morning when they went to the tomb to care for the body of Christ. They went to see something, but I will submit to all of us, they went to see the wrong thing. They didn't go to the tomb to see a risen Lord. They went to the tomb to see a dead Savior. A dead Jesus, lost hope in their Christ. And so let's read it. It's in Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter I chose for us this morning. First verse, read through 8 verses, if you will, with me. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." Perfect spot for an amen. 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 He is risen. Not has risen. He is risen. He's our risen Lord. He is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. There's just a few things I want you to take notice in this quick story, brief story that Matthew gives to us of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The first thing is the girls came to see the tomb. They came to care for the body of Jesus. Another gospel says along the way, they contemplated among themselves, who's going to roll away the stone? Who's going to move the stone so that we might go in? See, they weren't anticipating an empty tomb. They were not anticipating a risen Lord. They went to see the tomb. They went to see, if you will, a dead Jesus. Wouldn't you agree? They went to see not the risen Christ, the Messiah. In the fourth verse, we see the guards saw the angel, and they trembled with fear. In the sixth verse, the angel showed the women the place where Jesus had been. He said, look, see, he is not here. And then finally, in the seventh verse, he says, you need to go see him. Go to Galilee where he will meet you, and you will see him. See, my friends, there is a need for each and every person on the face of the earth to see Jesus in the right light, to see him in the right way. See, the girls were there at the tomb. They went to see Jesus, but they were in the wrong place. Anybody ever feel like they were in the wrong place? Hopefully not this morning. But ever felt like you've been in that place in your life where you've looked and you've searched and you just have found no satisfaction, no assurance in your life? How many of us have looked for the true meaning of life before we came to the Lord? I can remember in my life many years wondering, what's the purpose? What's the reason? Is it really the white picket fence? Is it really a successful business? Is it really just a happy family and happy children and everybody get along? Is that the meaning of life? How many of us have, have looked at things to bring us satisfaction? That next device, that next experience, that next whatever, relationship. Whatever it is, trying to find some meaning to life in a thing, only to realize that all the money in the world isn't going to make you happy. The most successful business that you can have may not bring you the satisfaction that you need. Lastly, your relationships that will last, sometimes we find they don't last. Or physical pleasures of this world, the deceptions that the world gives out there to say, this is what's going to make you happy. This is what's going to give you fun. This is what's going to make meaning in your life, only to find afterwards, no, still empty. Those things will never satisfy. Amen? They will never satisfy. If you've tried, and young people, you're going to have to try on your own because you won't listen to us older people. There is nothing on this world that will bring you the satisfaction, listen, of a relationship with a living God. A relationship with a living God. Whoever is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for you, speaking to you, encouraging you, correcting you when need be, he's there for you. Have you found things of this world to be disappointing? See, there is one place that you can find total satisfaction. There is one place that you can see Jesus. We call that place salvation. That place at the foot of the cross where Jesus died. The salvation, the life that he died, the life that he lived, the life that he died was for you. That's what we're going to look at this morning. To realize that that thing of salvation will bring us the satisfaction of life. Now, does it mean it's going to make your life easy? Does it mean that everything's going to work out perfectly the way you planned it? No. But you're going to realize that with him on your side, there is help. Say goodbye to Matthew's gospel. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and we've been studying on Sundays Hebrews. And when we studied this particular verse, I didn't spend a whole lot of time on it because I felt like this was going to be our Easter service. This particular verse that tells us and shows us the importance of the empty tomb, the importance of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's Hebrews 12, verse 2. We read this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Such a powerful verse. And such a verse that is packed with divine insight for us as Christians, for us as humans, our need for a Savior, our need for God. See, I'm hoping that each and every one of us here this morning will walk through those doors having a different perspective of what they're looking at in their Lord, in their God, whether he is your Savior or he may be your Savior this day, that you will see him for who he is, what he has done, and what he continues to do for his people, his church, his body, Christians. See, I want to give you three things. three lessons that we learn when we see this one particular verse. Number one, if you're taking notes, do you see him? These are the questions. Number one, his death and resurrection has a reason. His death and his resurrection has a reason. And we see this reason, but the writer of Hebrews records it for us right here in the middle of this verse, says like this, who for the joy that was set before him. The joy that was set before him. Now, if you have never studied crucifixion, if you've never considered what it meant to be nailed to a cross until your death, it is not something that anyone would call joyful. Wouldn't you agree? Nothing about that cross brought joy for any human. But for Jesus, it brought him joy. And here's the reason why. The joy that Jesus saw was the joy that was beyond the cross. You hear me? Past the cross. Having that perspective of things that would be once he accomplished this cross. The joy he experienced was not the cross itself. Listen, the joy that Jesus saw before him was you and was me, followers of his. The reason he had great joy is because Jesus knew, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, don't forgive them because they're crucifying me, but it's for them. My joy is for them that they will have salvation because of what I am doing upon this cross, taking upon the sins. The joy before Jesus was the justification of your life. The justification of your life. That's what was on Jesus' mind. Now, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we must have this similar perspective. The joy that we experience as followers of Jesus when life doesn't go our way, when things become difficult, when our marriages struggle, when our businesses fail, when our relationships in our families are strained and difficult. All of these things are opportunities for God to reach down and show his healing power because we look past it. You've heard me say, anyone who comes to me with a prayer request, I get excited because we get to see and behold the power of God answer that prayer. There may not be joy at first. Let me tell you, this morning I woke up with, I'm just giving God the glory here. I woke up with an amazing back pain, and I could barely stand up in front of my vanity. And praise be to God, I don't even feel it right now because I had prayer this morning, several times. And our prayer was, let them not even realize that it's not there any longer. And praise God that that's the power of God that we have in us. The joy is believing that God will do something in your life. Now, here's the problem for us as Christians. We think, well, I don't even know if I need to pray because I don't think he'll answer me. Maybe if I get Pastor Rob to pray for me, he'll answer. No, people think I have a greater connection to God. I don't. Your kids probably do, but it's like, we don't. I have nothing special other than my confidence in God. And that's what you need, my friends, is that confidence. Jesus saw joy at the cross because he knew it would bring salvation to your life. He died for you. This is the important thing. Justifying, this is what Jesus, he justifies you. So he justified the one who would commit their life to him, the one who would change the way they look at life. I don't know about you, but since I've become a Christian, I saw things immediately differently. I heard someone agree. As soon as that salvation comes, though I didn't fully understand what Jesus did for me on the cross when I first got saved, but immediately things changed in my life. I saw things differently. That was a spiritual thing that God did. So I saw things differently. Jesus died for the one who would change the way you look at your marriage. When I first got married, I loved my wife. We had a great time. As long as she was meeting my needs, as long as she was doing things that pleased me, we were good. And she did a great job. But then we got saved. And then I became her servant. She became my servant. We served each other through Jesus because that's the life he gave us. So we saw our marriage differently. We'll see others differently. We'll see relationships differently through the eyes of Christ. Even our suffering and our trials, everything changes once you become a Christian. Or at least it should. God forbid that we would accept Jesus Christ so that he would make our life what we want it to be. I'm going to put these lyrics up, and I think I've done this before. This song so ministers to my heart. It's called Give Me Your Eyes. Many of you have probably heard it. The chorus of the song says, give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything I keep missing. I don't want to miss a thing. I don't know about you. I don't want to miss a thing that God wants me to see in my life. It goes on. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so that I can see. The beauty of the cross, the beauty of Jesus and a relationship with him is that he changes us inwardly, and I believe also outwardly. He changes our eyes. He changes our ears. You hear things differently. I don't know if you've ever listened to a radio station you used to listen to when you were a non-Christian, but I can remember that day in Florida when I'm driving. I've been a Christian maybe a year. And I just was, I immediately started listening to Christian radio. Right out of the gate. Christian music, that's all I would listen to. Well, I flipped back to a radio station I used to listen to every morning on my way to work. My ears burned from the things that they were saying. And I used to think this was a great radio program. I'm like, God, you changed me. Because that is disgusting, what they're saying on that radio. Get me back to the Christian radio. Not to say that you have to listen to Christian radio. But for me, I changed. I had to hear things that encouraged me and strengthened me. I didn't need to hear somebody making fun of people or cussing on the radio. I didn't need to hear that anymore. I had changed. This is what Jesus does. See, the course that Jesus ran wasn't easy. The journey that he took, if you've been watching the Bible on Sunday nights on the History Channel, and I encourage you to watch it tonight because it's the final resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you haven't seen it, I think it starts in 20 minutes and you can watch the whole thing. But it's like, they got to go to church. How are you going to show that? But it's like, it's an amazing picture of showing Jesus' humanity. When he's in the garden saying, Lord, let this pass from me. You could see it in his humanness going, I don't want to do that in my flesh. But I know in my spirit I must do what you tell me to do. Because guys, that's how we identify. It's not going to be easy, the things that sometimes God calls us to do. But you know what's going to be easy is if we let him do it. Let him do the work. This is the beauty of it. Jesus' path was not easy, but he knew that on the other side of the finish line, joy awaited him. And here's what I want you to think about. Because I think God gave Jesus a sneak preview of the joy that he was going to experience after the cross. Think about this. When one of the two thieves hanging on one side of Jesus says this in Luke 23:42, hopefully it'll be overhead, then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Here's Jesus dying on a cross between two thieves. And in the course of time, one looks at Jesus and says, Lord, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. This man got saved. This man was receiving the salvation of Jesus Christ as Jesus is on the cross. It was as if the Father gave the Son a taste of the joy that would be his, because he was saying, Son, you have the power to heal that man. You have the power to save that man, his soul. Here's a guy who's also nailed to a cross, looking at Jesus, first mocking them, but then looking at him going, Lord, remember me when you enter your kingdom. What's amazing to me in that statement is, number one, he called him Lord. Number two, he realized he was a king of a kingdom. And number three, the most important thing, he knew that that kingdom was not of this world. And it was going to be beyond this world. And he knew he could get there if Jesus wanted him to. Whew. Did this man have any time to repent of his sins? Did this man have any time to get water baptized? Did this man have any chance of leading someone else to the Lord, though I believe his life has led many to Christ? No. On the cross. Guys, there is nothing we have to do or can do to make our salvation any better. Jesus did that. That was the joy of it. That was the reason. You were the reason. Talk about the simplicity of salvation. See, I know either whether there's people in this room or people that we know that are thinking, I need to clean up my life before I come to God. And you'll never be able to do that. You'll never be able to do that. Only Jesus can clean up your life. Only Jesus can change your eyes and your ears. He believed. And I say not bad for a brand new believer. Not bad. Remember me when in my kingdom. Do you believe that? Do you believe that when you die, you're going to be in heaven? Do you believe that or do you hope that? You got to believe that. You got to know that. It's not, boy, I hope when I die I'm in heaven. When I'm dead, I'm in the presence of the Lord. I believe that with my heart. That's a beautiful reason for the death and resurrection. The second thing, it goes on in this verse. It's so amazing. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Endured the cross, despising the shame. The second thing, his death and resurrection has a reward. Has a reward. The death and resurrection that Jesus lived for us has a reward for it. There is a reward for those who endure to the end. And I'm telling you, there are verse after verse after verse that explain this. Matthew 10:22, you don't have to turn there. It says, he who endures to the end will be saved. James says this, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. There's a reward for us who endure. And for some of us Christians in this room, you're getting weary, you're getting tired, it's been a long time, your knees are getting achy from all the prayers you've prayed. And Jesus is telling you this morning, endure, continue, don't give up. Jesus didn't, he continued. In fact, if you go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says it so beautifully. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, he says this, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. One way to heaven, that's Jesus Christ. And that foundation has been laid. It's our job as Christians to build upon that foundation, which is Jesus, to let our lives or our building glorify God. Going on to verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Such a beautiful area of Scripture of the reminder that our lives will have some lasting effect when we get to heaven, that there are rewards for those who faithfully served Christ. Now, some of us think, well, I've made mistakes. I've sinned in my life. Yes, but Jesus covered all those up. When you get to heaven and this refiner's fire happens, all the things that you did in your own strength, those are the things that get burned away. The things that last, listen, are the things that Jesus did through you. That's good news, isn't it? Because Jesus is working through each and every one of us if we will allow him. Our works fall by the wayside. There's a brother in this church that always likes to remind us that if our words, our personal words, that they would fall by the waysides and that God's word would remain. God's word would remain. See, our lives are important, my friends. The reward that we will receive is victory over death. To endure, Jesus endured the cross. He endured going through the cross. And it says, despising the shame. If you go back to Hebrews, he says, despising the shame. Another word for despising could be disregarding. It was shameful to see someone dying on a cross because they were dying on a cross because they'd done something wrong. But not Jesus, was it? Jesus died on the cross and he was innocent. Even Pilate wanted to let him go. Even Pilate just, I wash my hands of this. This is on your necks. No, no, no. He died on the cross for us. He despised the shame. My friends, Jesus taught us how to place the Father's will over our own. Think about that. Jesus taught us that. That God, as much as I want things in my life, as much as I'd like to see great things happen in my life, it doesn't matter what I want, God, it matters what you want. Jesus said it this way, as he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. That was the heart of the Savior. That was the heart of the Son. God's will being done, my friends. I believe God will reward us richly. I believe, I'd like to think at some point I'd go, God, that's enough. You're overpaying me here. You did all the work, Lord. All this is yours. That's the heart of one who knows and who sees what Jesus did on the cross as nothing of their own strength. The beauty of it is Paul realized it. And Paul said, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. There's nothing you can't do, my friends. There's nothing you can't do if God is behind it. If God is in it, you can accomplish anything. And we need not fear. Thirdly and finally, the last part of this verse, Hebrews 12:2, and has sat down at the right hand, the throne of God. His death and resurrection has a reason, it has a reward, but finally, his death and resurrection has a result. Has a result, and it's a very powerful result. The result is his place of authority. You know, we read this, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I think for some of us, yeah, that's where he is. That's where he's residing. He's sitting right next to the Lord in heaven. But you know that that was a place of authority? That was a place of authority. God was saying, son, you did well. Sit right here at my right hand. Sit right here at my right hand. And this is where I want you to be, in a place of authority. The question is, as we're trying to look at and talk about seeing Jesus and seeing him in the right light, is Jesus have authority over your life? Does Jesus have the authority over your life? In other words, can Jesus tell you to do something and you just say, yes, sir? Or does Jesus ask you to do something and you argue with him, like Peter? See, if he's the authority, if he's the one that's over your life, then he calls the shots. He's the one. It's Psalm 110 that the writer of Hebrews is quoting here. The Lord, as David wrote this, it says, and the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Seated. See, the New Testament writers are very clever to let us know that they knew exactly who the one was seated at the right hand of God. Even though David said that psalm, they knew that it was Jesus of Nazareth, that was the Messiah, that was the one that was seated at the right hand of God. And God was approving of the work that he had done. This was the result. God said to Jesus on Ascension Day, sit at my right hand. Guys, he knows exactly what you have need of in your life. He knows exactly what needs to happen in your life to bring him glory. He knows what exactly needs to happen in your life to make you satisfied, to make you content. How many of us in this room just want to be content, just want to be happy where God has us? Or are many of us in this room striving, trying to become something else, trying to be someone else, or trying to obtain something greater, thinking that that will give you some substance in your life? It won't. It won't. One of my wife's favorite verses is, be still and know that I am God. And just hearing those words, be still, brings encouragement to my heart. See, my prayer, my hope for us this Easter is that there's going to be some time today in the hustle and bustle where we can just sit and be still before God and remember what he did. Remember what it was he did for us. See, every first Sunday of the month, we celebrate the communion. To remember what Jesus did for us. And it's always a time to consider and reflect in our hearts what it is that God is doing in my life and what am I allowing God to do in my life. Well, that's what Easter is as well. Remembering the empty tomb. Remembering that he rose. That anything you're going through, any stress that you're going through, God knows about it. I don't know, sometimes I feel like we have to remind God what's going on in our lives. Lord, I know you're busy. Let me just catch you up on some things that's been happening with me. He knows. He knows. His eye is upon you. He sees. He sees those of you that are working really hard to make a meaning in your life. He sees those others who are just resting in the goodness of God, trusting the outcome. Where are you on this? Where are you in seeing who Jesus is? Says many, and we live in some pretty scary days, my friends, where many are challenging the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, it didn't really happen. There's no proof. I'll tell you what. The only proof I need is seeing the transformation of 12 individuals who believed with every ounce of their being that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and how they transformed the world. That we now today believe in Jesus Christ because of those faithful ones that would go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. I might be, could do it for a little while, perpetuating a lie, but if they're going to kill me, I'm going to cry wolf. I was kidding. I made a mistake. Not these guys. Just about every single one of them died. Died for their faith in Jesus Christ. Do you see Jesus as your Savior? See, Jesus said he was going to prepare a place. For those of us who have our hope and faith in Christ, we're excited about what Jesus is doing. He says this. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. See, the good news about Jesus being seated at the right hand of God, it tells us that Jesus is in heaven next to the Father. And if Jesus, when he was on earth, says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and when that's ready, I'm going to come back and get you to take you so you can be where I'm at, guess where we get to be, friends? We get to be in heaven. Resurrection is an assurance for a believer. That we will rise again, that we will live forever. That we will not die. That we will live for all eternity. To me, this is an amazing result of the cross for us. That Jesus considered it joy, that he endured it because he knew what it would mean to you and for you, and that now he's in this place of authority. And for those of us who humbly submit to that authority, he's a good, loving, caring God. Is there tragedy happening in your life? Is there something going on that you just don't understand? It's like, why am I having to go through this? Well, if you don't have Jesus in your life, then you should be worried. But if you have God in your life, you need to realize that he's got legions of angels taking care of you. I always believe things can always be worse, a lot worse. But no, we have God who believes and makes, listen, Paul tells us that Jesus is in heaven making intercession for those who believe. When you make a mistake, when you fall and stumble, when you do something dumb and sin, Jesus goes, I'll take the pay, I'll pay for that. That's the truth of it. That's the freedom that we have as Christians. Jesus makes intercession for those who are his, those who have placed their complete trust in him. If you will, let's stop one more place. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And as we read this verse, I want each of us to ask ourselves, am I one of these people that Paul is talking about? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So here's the question as we close this service this morning. Have you died with Jesus? Have you died? See, when Jesus died on the cross, he took upon the sins of the world, past, present, and future, the sins that you're going to commit tomorrow, Jesus has already paid for. And there are a group of people that think, oh, Jesus died for the sins of the world, that means everybody's saved. No. You have to put your faith and trust in Christ. The Bible also talks about followers of Christ must carry their own cross. That we must bear our own cross and follow after Jesus, whatever that life is that we have. And Jesus is saying, or Paul says, if you died with him, we shall also live with him. There's the assurance that if we believe in the resurrection and we believe in Jesus and we put our hope and faith and trust in him, it's not about what we do on earth, whether we're going to get to heaven. My faith and trust is in Christ, so I know I'm going to live. I'm going to resurrect. I'm an eternal being. Look at me. I'm an eternal being. And you can be an eternal being too if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Water baptism doesn't save you. Good works don't save you. Being a good person doesn't save you. Jesus Christ saves you. Period. And those of us who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because I keep talking about doing things, following up, doing what he says. Listen, once you know you're saved, you want to do whatever you can to show God how much you appreciate that. Not paying him back by any means, but we're living a life that honors him. If you're here this morning and you have not died in him, might I say, today could be your birthday. Today could be your birthday. Because Jesus said, in order to get to heaven, in order to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And I know for some of us that doesn't make sense, what that term. Don't worry about the term. The term means salvation. It means, Jesus, you died on the cross, you spent the 3 days in the tomb, and you rose again on the third day, and you're seated at the right hand of God, ever interceding for those who trust in you. And if I put my faith and trust in Jesus, if I see him as Messiah, as Lord, and I die with him, saying, I no longer want to live, I want to let Christ come into my heart, change me, that I can be a Christian, then I can be assured that if today was my last day, I'd be in heaven. Or if Jesus comes back in our lifetime, we get to go be with him in heaven. Are you here today and you haven't been seeing Jesus in the right light? You haven't been seeing Jesus as the Messiah? But this morning you see by the scriptures that we've shared that he is the one. Jesus is the one that God sent to pay the price for all. I'm going to ask you here this morning, if you haven't prayed that prayer, God wants to give you that opportunity. The prayer is simple. Salvation is simple. God, I'm a sinner. I believe that by through your word that you sent Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And today I decide to put my life into your hands. And what God does to convince you or to assure you that you will have, he'll give you his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come into your heart and come into your life. And you will be saved. You will be born again. Born of the Spirit. See, you have a spirit and he wants to connect. That spirit wants to reconnect with the Spirit of God. So if you're this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ and you'd like to, I just ask you to stand up. Stand up and pray the prayer of salvation. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I know it seems a little weird. There's other people in the room looking. But let me say this. Don't worry about what other people see. Worry about what God sees. Worry about what Jesus sees. See, because Jesus in heaven is looking down right now going, I died for you. Remember? For the joy that was set before him was your life. And he's saying, will you accept me? Will you come to me? Is there anyone here this morning that would like to stand up and boldly receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Easter's a great time to receive. I received the Lord on Easter in 1993. I'm a 20-year-old. I like the sound of that. There's something going on in your heart. There's something going on in your life. Are you one of those people here this morning who go, I just got to get a few things in order before I come to the Lord? My friends, God wants to help you. God wants to save you. God wants to come into your life, take your heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh. I'm telling you, the day you receive him, you will be a different person. You'll see things differently. You'll hear things differently. And you'll begin to have a relationship with Jesus Christ of the Bible and God of heaven. Does anyone here like to stand up and I'll lead you in that prayer. I'll tell you, I'll say the words, you can just repeat them because God hears your heart. It's not the words you say. Is today your day? Is today your day you come into the family of God? Into the kingdom of God? If you're considering still in your heart, there's going to be some prayer counselors up front. I'd like to pray with you. I'll be here as well. If you have some questions, come forward as we close in this last song. So I'm going to close in prayer. The worship team will come forward. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you, God, that you look at the cross and see joy because of what your son has done. God, it's so such a powerful work that you've done that even many of us who are Christians and have given our lives to you, we look at this cross that's here before us this morning, and it has a different meaning. It no longer has the meaning of a Roman torture. It has the meaning of forgiveness. It has the meaning of restoration. It has the meaning of healing, of being more than conquerors in Christ. And so, God, we thank you for transforming the cross into a picture of beauty and a picture of love and forgiveness. God, I pray that you would bless this church, bless these people, bless our lives, so that we would be on fire for you, and that the joy that we experience as Christians, others would desire it as well. And they would come to us and ask us questions. How can we be so happy and so joyous in the days that we live? Only because of you. We love you, Lord. Bless you for rising again. Bless you for being seated at the right hand of God. Our eyes are on you, Lord. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.